Awaken Your Alpha, episode 19, Lazo Freeman, UK and Iraq.
The Awaken Your Alpha podcast, Live Limitless. Discovering the finest alpha minds and studying them for you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Words they live by.
For example, put the cookie down.
Excuse me. Origins, biggest failures, fears, awakening moments, Yoda question, yin yang, the alpha round, and their wake up question
to finish.
Excuse me, Mr. Swartzen Snitchell.
Welcome. Check out this fantastic podcast.
If you don't mind.
Get to the podcast now.
Actually, I'm not that bothered. Adam hassled me a lot. Go for it. You meatheads deserve each other. I am off to the Amazon. Whatever.
Thank you, David. Get to the podcast.
Easy, Arnold, but it's awesome to have you. I'm a big fan. You better introduce it properly then, mate.
The Awaken Your Alpha podcast. Live Limitless.
Okay, guys. I'm here with Lazo Freeman. And this is going to be a really good one for us today. We are talking all about sculpting the alpha, chipping him out of chisel and making the man. So, firstly, Lazo, are you ready to awaken your alpha?
I am born ready to awaken my alpha. So, yeah, definitely 100%. I mean, I grew up with alphas in my life, so I know what it looks like. But it's more the old-style alpha male, you know, the guy who's just always trying to occupy space, always being super dominant. So I know that because I'm Iraqi, so the Middle East culture is like very alpha to the point where it's actually detrimental to the society or to the group because it's a bunch of egos fighting it out. And to me, the modern alpha is a person who has a healthy ego and gives it a check and manages and calibrates and, you know, break and even accepts the idea of going through an ego death through whether it's training or whether it's through meditation or psychedelics or you name it, any sort of thing that can just break that a little bit. So a new evolution of the alpha, because I don't think you can ever reach alpha. I think you're always pursuing it to the next level. Hence the awakened part that you say it's very valid.
I love it. And like you said there, you don't think you can ever reach it. And I completely agree. So that's why you definitely got to enjoy the journey. Because if you're just all moody, waiting for where that time when you find the promised land, you're just going to have a horrible life.
Horrible. I mean, I'm going to give you my perspective, like, especially, I come from, like, Iraq during the war, 1983. And so my father's Kurdish, and they're Kurdish people, like, freedom fighters, they're warriors. It's a very kind of, like, their favorite quote is, their only true friend is the mountain, like, because it's solitude. It's, like, strong and solid. Cold. They're cold people, but they're also very warm. This is a strange thing. Like my earliest
memory. That is hardcore. Yeah, blimey.
Pretty hardcore. All my uncles were some sort of killers or some sort, you know, but they were fighting for
war. This is going to be interesting. I think we're going to talk a lot about your origin story then, because man, this is unique. We haven't had any of this kind of action on it yet. So yeah, can you tell us a little bit more about how you've come from obviously your origin, your roots to literally at the moment, we haven't really talked about what you're up to, but we'll talk more, but literally at the moment, sculpting, you know, London's finest and around the world, our executives, our professional men, and just making them into beasts.
And it comes down to identity. And so everyone has their own identity from where they came from to where they are now and how they can bridge the gap to who they appear to be and who they see themselves. You know, there's that voice inside of you. Like, you know, you want to get to wherever it is you want to get to, but there might be limiting belief, it might be fears, it might be something else that's taking it. But to me, it's important to go back to remember where you came from and appreciate some of those like challenges that's taken you. Mine was like, for example, my father was very dominating, like he's a dominating figure. Like my earliest memories were, I remember being in a car, cut through, he stops the car in front of them, he comes out and there's like four big black dudes. He'll pull a screwdriver, he doesn't care. Like I grew up with environment where my father doesn't care, like he will get angry and aggressive. Never did anything to us, me and my brother, temperament. But at the same time, he had the opposite side where if he's stuck in traffic for a long time, he'll put the music on, open the door, and start dancing outside. Like it's just, there was no middle ground. So, fortunately for me, my mother was like the glue. And I saw the other side, she's like Arabic, so she's much more homely and caring. So, I managed to incorporate, and I think a good alpha is you have a very strong masculine side, but you also understand that feminine side and you integrate the two together. In terms of like projecting forward, but you know, most creativity is actually a feminine energy, it's a nurturing energy. So for those people who have too much of that, I would say, you know, go and do some squats, get aggressive, let that rage come out. So you get the
hit some deadlift.
Yeah, for those who have too much of that, man, like, just do some painting, you know, write some, whatever it is, do some writing, just, you know, just encourage that other side.
Some yoga and wow music, yeah.
Yes, it's totally, dude.
Were you born and grew up in England or London? When did you get to London?
I was born in Iraq. It was during 1980, the Iraq-Iran war started off.
Yep.
So my mother, like, she's probably the strongest person I know, the most inspirational woman on the planet. So she went with donkeys across the mountains on like a pickup truck and getting shot at and driven. And I don't know any of this, going through to escape to, you know, for the sake of me and my brother to live a better life in the Western world. My parents were very wealthy at the time, but the war started. And when war happens, it's just a mess. So I came from that space. And so I've always had this like, deep yearning, like I don't know where I belong in society because I'm not Iraqi, because I'm not in there, but my DNA is there. I'm very British because I've spent most of my life in Britain, but I'm not quite there. So I've always had this thing, like, who the hell am I? And I just came to a conclusion, the best way to think about it is you're a humanist. You're just a humanitarian, but like the whole world is. And when it comes from that space, it's a great avenue not to be able to judge. And for me, alpha is not, you know, that whole thing you said you should never judge. That's bollocks. That's absolute bollocks. Because judgment is important to make the right decisions. But you can only make that awareness. So you just need a larger awareness, a larger pool of awareness in your judgment, whether you're going to start a business deal with this person or you're going to invest this emotion in this relationship, whatever it may be, is having the awareness of what that structure is rather than judge straight away. So that's my whole thing. Always judge, but with the information that you need before you make a decision.
Now, brilliant. I think it's important there what you said about, obviously, where do you fit in? I think that's a huge part of knowing your alpha and awakening your alpha, is knowing what you are all about and where you fit in and your place in society and, yeah, your own story about yourself. That's brilliant. So when you obviously came across here then, how do you get to, like, a little guy going to school here to... Right, you sound like you've got a really nice spot in London, because in my head, London, I'm just thinking, oh, so many people, and just like you're just a face in the crowd. But you sound like you've got a nice little bubble you told me about. And how do you get to literally training high rollers and just dealing with high performing people? What are some key points? What was your awakening moment then?
So I studied biochemical engineering at UCL.
Yeah.
And I was really good at chemistry. I got good at chemistry. Basically, I couldn't read and write until about 15, 16, with dyslexia.
Yeah.
And then I was a lot of time learning to read, how to read, gathering information. And I became more scientific in my approaches in life and got into sciences. I got really good at chemistry, loved chemistry. However, when I did biochemical engineering, like, you know, you're 19, 18, whatever it is, you're going to university, you haven't got a clue of what life, you just don't know shit. And I think the system's all fucked up because of that, right? And so I'm doing this course and I'm just like, this is so boring and it's so isolated, so insular. And I just started to party hard. So I'm an extreme, very neurotic. So I would do one thing to the other two. Yeah. So I think that's part of being alpha, because it's very focused, lasered. I ran a bar, a pub down in 52 Gower Street, and I did all these lockings and stuff. So I had parties in there. I had like the best time. I'm not taking anything back, but my health deteriorated. And things my family weren't going too well, and I don't know what I want to do, and there's all these, you know, and it's so easy to disable yourself from the truth of what you want to be doing or something, because there's this inner voice, but you don't know what it is, especially at that age, you haven't got a clue. Yeah. I just decided, like, you know, like the ancient Greeks believed that if you strengthen the body, you strengthen the mind, right? I just did a whole bunch of research, like, I need to strengthen my body again, I need to get that feeling that I'm in control of this fucking flesh vehicle that's making me craziness, right? Because it is. I end up entering the Body for Life challenge. I actually watched a video, and like a British guy, a British people are very skeptical. At the time, much more skeptical than I am now. I was like, yeah, they must be using steroids, or that wasn't 12 weeks, and whatever. You make all these excuses to justify the fact that you don't want to take the action. That's the part of it. And so I watched this. There was 10 guys who transformed themselves. And I was like, one of them's going to be genuine, and that's all I needed to have that faith and belief. And so I decided to do the Body for Life. I ended up winning it in 2005.
Cool.
And
well done.
Decided to say, forget biochemical engineering. Let's just do personal training. So I got into personal training. Never thought about being a personal trainer prior to that. Like, that had never been on my mind in the kind of way. But I enjoy the whole process working out. And that's the difference. What I do with my clients, or so other personal trainers, is my main goal is one goal. And that is just to get my clients to fall in love with working out and fall in love with their body. Byproduct is the physique. But if I can get them to that space, I know I've done my job right. So I don't worry about everything else. I just have to create the framework, the environment. That's predominantly how I get the results. How to get high rollers, it's part of getting good at social skills, you know, and I'm not a fan of networking. I think networking is bollocks because it's all about what can I get, right?
Yeah.
I'm a big fan on the idea there's basically three tribes in reality. The first tribe is, let's just say, a tribe that someone's already in, a tribe someone wants to get to, so they do whatever it can to get into that tribe, and then there's this other group of people who want to just visit a tribe. So their whole thing is, I just want to give to this tribe because they just want to go visit. They just want to see what's going on. And those individuals are usually the entrepreneurs, and they're usually the people who are good at socially, and because they can take, they meet so many different individuals, understand human behavior and what's actually behind the character, not what people say, the character. So, you know, you start to build an intuition and start understanding individuals. And the wealthy people only do business with people they trust. And you can only trust someone through their character. So the next level there is, how do you convey your character? How do you deliver characters? One thing, having characters, number one, conveying and delivering is two different skill sets. So I just got good at that. I got really good at that. It's like training, you go to failure each time. You just apply that same skill into that. You know, you suck, you're just horrible at it. You know, you get shitloads of rejection, you feel like poo. And then you're like, hold on, you know, there's a part of my personality I just need to probably polish up.
Yeah.
And then you just work on it, and you just, after a while, you get good at it, and there's a transformation in social skills. So, like, a big recommendation, especially people in their 20s, even the 30s, just get good at social skills, you know. And
definitely, it'll get you a lot further than any piece of paper or qualification. Definitely, I completely agree.
Level is not who you know, it's how you flow. It's even better where you get traction and people are like approaching you because you're able to convey yourself a lot better. And that's it's a very alpha trait, you know. If you look at any of the top alphas out there in the world, people come to them. Their problem is saying more no's than yes, making the right decision.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, mentioning about the attitude thing as well, and your personality and social skills, because my background's a lot of working in colleges. So that is a vital age when they're literally becoming from kids to adults. And, you know, some people have some serious chips on their shoulder and they're just worrying about these pieces of paper. And I'm like, don't even worry about the fact that this ain't going so well. You know, it's to two extremes. There'd be someone in there who might be struggling with the academic stuff, but they're absolutely spot on. You know, they're literally a mini alpha. They're just so nice to be around. Like, everyone's going to want to employ them, even if their academics are down a bit. And there's someone else who might be similar situation or even doing slightly better academically, but their attitude and their social skills absolutely stinks, and no one's going to go near them, and they're going to struggle for so long thinking it's their academic and their environment, their background, but it's all about, you know, their social skills and their attitude.
Yeah, talk, I mean, you know, the school is designed where it's not practicing social skills on a higher level. And then when they're studying, like in your desk, and then we shall separate from each other, and it's like, yeah, you get an A and I got A's, and you'll be able to do this, and then you get this grade and you get this, and not particularly. It's like, we're social creatures and it's all about interaction. That's just the way it goes. And unfortunately, that skill set about body language, about eye contact, about articulating, understanding your values, understanding theirs, boundaries, consequences.
There should be more success classes. I seriously believe that. And one of the things I'm loving about this is one of my old colleges, they've picked it up and almost like trying to put it into the curriculum a little bit. Because again, you have tutorials all the time in these places and everyone's bored of the tutorials, because I do them as well. And they give you just useless things to fill your time, or just admin, and the students are just sitting there just for half an hour. Right. So, you know, just little things like this. If they can hear from Lazo for half an hour, that is half an hour well spent.
And kids are not stupid. You know, they have energy. So, you know, when you go talk to them, you're already like, you know, we can make a difference. And that energy that they feel, that's what they resonate to, makes a big difference. So I my personal opinion, like, if you want to change societies, we're going to make teachers celebrities. You know, they the most inspired teachers get like 150K or something, and then they're put out there, and, you know, make it a high standard with people, teachers. But unfortunately, that's not the situation. Like, education is going to change the UK or the world, but it's lacking.
Definitely. Well, on that note, give us some inspiration. What is a quote that you like to live your life by that really resonates with you?
I really like Pablo Picasso's quote. He said, if I remember, learn the rules as a professional and break them like an artist.
Nice. That is awesome.
And that just goes into the whole idea. Whatever you do, just get involved in the process, really appreciate the process, even if it's just a horrible thing to do, and understand it. Once you understand it, then, okay, let me add my spin on it. Let my take on it, my unique whatever it is. And that's the artwork, and that makes it fun. So, yeah, that's my favorite quote.
Okay. When we talked about your awakening moment, we haven't really got a specific. Was there a set of awakening moments back to back, or was there one key point in your life? Like some people have like this big moment, like an injury or a car crash or something.
I don't have a big moment. I just had the stacking effect of depreciating returns. It's just, you know, it's just slowly.
Breaking you down, yeah.
Yeah, it's breaking me down as fungus just grew. And I see it and I'm observing.
When did the moment get then when you're like, I've had enough of this?
I think it was
game time.
I was listening to this and I'm like paying no attention and I'm like feeling, you know, anxiety. And anxiety is a very important tool. Like if you feel anxiety, you need to make a change. Like with using courage. I actually use negativity.
Yeah.
In how I manage my life. But, you know, I just felt like constricted in my throat. I felt like this is for me. This is like, what am I doing? And there was this voice, and it's really trying to listen to your internal voice. It's like, this isn't what I was called to do on this planet. I know it sounds freaking wishy-washy out there, but that's what I had. I had a strong feeling. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I was like, this is not it. That's what I knew. I knew that this is not it, and I need to get the fuck out of that. And then whatever happens, happens. Like, I'm not going to, like,
what's the Well, I think that's... That's the huge thing. I think you find out what you want to do by really getting clear on stuff you do not like or want to do.
It's like dating. Like, you know, after what people are like, yeah, I want a girl, this, that, and then you get this girl, like, oh my God, I don't want a girl like this.
Yeah.
And then after a while, you get good, like, yeah, now I really know what I want. So, you know, sometimes it's like sometimes people are just lucky. They get what it, you know, they just happen to fall into the right thing. I didn't happen, you know.
Are we talking about your job now or women?
No, I'm much better now with women than I used to be. Yeah, not good. If I can go back to a 20-year-old Lazo, there'd be like tons of advice. He'd be sitting down for like a 12-hour lecture, that's for sure.
Awesome. Okay. This is our Yoda question. Who helped you awaken your alpha? Who are some key figures?
Serge Lysis, he was a bodybuilder at Tufton Park Gym. So it's this old crusty gym, which was open in 1980, where you have to clean off the friggin' rust of the gym. So it was one of these old school. I only went there to apply for a receptionist job, so I had to pay for my gym membership. And then he just saw the enthusiasm that I had for training because I was like getting into this.
Yeah.
And he kind of he didn't do a lot of work, but he just showed me the right thing to do, not to do, and all that kind of stuff. In business, anywhere from like practicing my pitch from Daniel Priestley to Mike Harris, in like Rehan Jalali in terms of like where he is and he's stationed in terms of like he's a body transformation coach for celebrities. So yeah, I have lots of mentors. I still have carry lots of mentors. And one thing I would say for anyone listening is be careful when you have mentors in the sense that don't take away your own sovereignty to think. You know, they're usually just a benchmark of like understanding where you are, understand where you can go, but your path is very different. And the best way to get a mentor is just ask. You'd be surprised. If you just ask most of them and they see your enthusiasm, they look back and they go, yeah, I remember being like you.
Yeah.
And they help. And that's what I see when I'm in the gym and as a kid and he's just really into it. It's like, yeah, okay, I charge a lot of money for my training session, but I just can't help but help this individual because there's something like, oh, I remember being that. I remember how it's like, and you didn't know what's going on. And it's like paying it forward, whatever.
Definitely. Yeah. Okay. So we're talking really to guys in a situation where they may be in good shape, they may be in average shape, they may be in not very good shape. How importantly for me, I've always been in all right shape. How could guys listen? How can they really build an alpha? What are some key things? I mean, I'm not going to ask you for specific sets and reps and exercise, but what are some key principles that you think for guys who are listening in to help themselves get that alpha body?
I would say, first, be realistic. Like, if you're pick a person or individual who has similar type of genetics with a certain physique, you know, if you're going to pick friggin' Kai Greene or Ronnie Coleman, forget about it. Like, that's just not going to happen. So have something where you can actually have a future projection of what you want to look like.
Yeah.
I drew a picture of exactly what I want to look like. I end up looking like it. Like, I'm a good cartoonist. So, and then afterwards, it's like, I'm not going to kid you not. Like, what I do with my clients, I get them to pose. You got to do all, like, learn the 8 mandatory bodybuilding poses and practice that. After you do a workout or a set or a rep, whatever it is, hit a double bicep, hit a side chest, hit those poses. Why? Because then you can start seeing the changes. And that starts to encourage you to move forward. I don't get it when people don't pose. I don't mean pose like, look how great.
I'm more like, I do like the odd Zoolander pose myself now and then, but not in the gym though.
Or you're not walking around like this, like you got like massive wings or something.
Oh, the lats.
Yeah, like
I love guys that walk like that. Makes me laugh a lot.
I just say to them, just tuck your lats in.
But you must know their lats are so huge, that's why their arms are out there.
I know. Or they're just having too much Red Bull and then you give them wings. That pump, that side, like, wow, I look good. If only if I stayed like this, and then you, like, as you walk out of the gym, you always hear. But if you just kept that for 4 weeks, that's how you're going to look. So you're like, oh, that encourages you, that idea of like, there is a reward. Because sometimes they just lose the momentum, and it's purely momentum. And then have a target, like, fuck, put yourself in a situation, put yourself in a competition, put yourself, like, the best physique I ever had was going into competitions. Because why? Because I want to stand on the freaking stage. I don't want to look like
you've got a deadline, yeah.
Because then you don't make shitty choices. Like, I went to Cannes this week and I partied hard. Why? Because I don't have any competition ahead of me.
Oh, did you go to Cannes? Oh, I saw a lot. I love the look of that. I actually, for the first time ever, I clocked quite a bit. And I saw a few like posts from people who are out there. And I was like, that looks awesome. And the fact that I'm moving to America next year. Cannes is so close, but next year it won't be. And more importantly, did you see the tank with the Expendables free crew come down? Were you anywhere near that?
I was too much in the clubs and the yachts.
I think that was in the morning, actually. So, yeah. I thought morning. No.
I was somewhere else. Yeah, dude. I had a hangover moment. But anyway, because I have a photo shoot booked with a professional photographer.
Yeah, that's important.
Whatever exam you need to pass. You only pass because there's a freaking deadline.
Yeah.
I got to put it in. I got to put the work in. Yeah. I got to go the mile, right? And it's the same thing. So, it's easy not to build momentum. Simple tricks like that will make a difference.
Definitely. That's brilliant. Okay. We're going to go quickly then into our yin-yang round, but we're going to do it quite quickly, which is a bit random, but we just might find a little bit more out about you. So you just go with your gut on this. Don't think about it too much. Arnie or Sly?
Arnie.
Correct answer. There's actually a correct answer in that one. Okay.
Come on, get down.
Dinner out or dinner in?
Dinner out, man.
P90X or Insanity?
I've never tried either, so I don't know. I think P90X, because I think Insanity is going to just mess up your joints.
Okay. Beer or wine?
Wine, definitely.
Tea or coffee?
Big coffee drinker.
Okay.
I need my rush.
That's the correct answer as well. New York or San Francisco?
Ooh, that's a tough one. You know what, I'm going to say San Fran, because I live in London anyway. So yeah.
Okay. Sydney or Paris?
Never been to Sydney. Not a big fan. I like Paris, but I couldn't live there. So I don't know. I'll just say Santa Monica. That's where I want to go.
Nice. Okay. This round is called the complete blanker round. So you just got to complete the blank.
The Street Fighter character.
Yeah, I remember that. I was more going for a play on wanker, but snuck it in there. So complete blanker round. Your best friend would describe you as?
Gangster.
Oh, I like it. I've got a lot of people saying loyal, but I like gangster. That's better. Okay. If I was ever to visit London, and more specifically your little bubble, I should?
Check out the British Museum. Reason being is it's like going into a time warp of history, and you realize how short your time on this planet is and what are you going to leave behind? And it's just sort of cool stuff. So I love anything to do with war and fighting and all that kind of stuff. So it's just a great place. I go all the time.
Yeah. I've been there. I think it's... Unfortunately, it's probably when I was at a school trip or something, but it was awesome. Even then, when I'm just a kid, it is brilliant. It is impressive. Your favorite movie of all time is?
The Hurricane.
Oh, man.
He just passed away, the guy. He's a legend. I bought his
book. Did he?
I'm in Hurricane Carter, yeah.
Oh, man. But
the reason why, I don't spoil it for those people out there, but the reason why I like the movie Hurricane is it's all to do with a person wrongly put into prison. Famous boxer at the time, he's winning his belt, and the police put him into prison, which he didn't actually commit the crime. But what's great about this is what happens in terms of how he transcended himself in that prison. And most of us in life are in some sort of prison that we can actually transcend it to the point where I'm going to spoil it for people who haven't watched it. You've got to go watch it. But circumstances, people, and events will start to, let's say, manifest itself to give you the outcome. When things seem completely bleak. I mean, his story was pretty bleak. But it's a beautiful movie. So
That is a good one. That is a good one. You've made it to the alpha round. Okay. So this is where you're going to give us your tools and resources. Yep. Your tools and resources to help us get a little bit more gangster stroke alpha. So have you got one, maybe two at the most, book recommendations you think would be useful?
A big one for my favorite one is called Turning Pro by Stephen Pressfield.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great book. It comes from the War of Art, but it's more of the application stuff. I think that's a great book. And another book. Ooh, there's so many books. I've got like thousands of books.
You can go one if you want, because that is a good one.
You know what? Just get that book. Because it's just showing us that when you're professional, you still feel the fear. You still feel the annoyance. You still got this thing where you just want to be lazy, but you write it. So it's just a great book on whatever you want to do and becoming a professional. Yeah.
Have you got a particularly high-tech resource, gadget, app, something you use on a daily basis to help you be productive, and a particularly low tech resource?
So no, I don't actually. I'm very old.
You don't have an iPhone? Do you have an old school Nokia, an actual phone that's a phone?
I have an iPhone, and the only thing I'm using it is for like Facebook and Instagram. So that's it. You
know? But that's standard nowadays, isn't it? What is a low tech or basic resource that you use on a daily basis, do you think?
In terms of
being productive and just part of you'd be upset if I took it away from you.
My incense. Salo Palo incense. I just put it around my room.
Oh, okay.
I do my kind of mental rituals, in my mind, kind of like gratitude and all that.
Incense, okay, nice.
I smell the stuff and I'm like, yeah, you know what? It's okay, I'll sort of it out. So
that's a good one.
I'm a hippie at heart, dude.
I like that. That is a good one. What would be, again, we're going to, on this one, I'm going to make it easier for you. I'm going to assume you train just a little bit. So what would be another one of your daily alpha habits?
Training. Just make sure that you pick your days when you're buying your grocery shopping, that you're taking care of your breakfast, you're taking care of your lunch, that you know what you're eating in between meals.
Yeah.
That way, I know you can, when you eat out, you make better choices because you're not having emotional hunger to pick the foods. So most of it is like emotional hunger. So I would say do your grocery shopping at the set time and know what it is and vary it. Just have that. So it's systemized, you don't have to think about it. That's important. And plenty of vitamin D, magnesium, and zinc.
Oh, yeah. They're the ones, definitely. Brilliant. What would you say is some of the best advice you've ever had?
One of my favorite ones was from Mr. Daniel Priest. He says, your best thinking of 2 years ago is your baggage today. Check in myself and see, what is, have I got all thought?
Check yourself before you wreck yourself. There we go. Never mind. I can edit that out. Don't worry. What is the one question you wish I'd asked, or you thought I might, and I didn't? I missed it.
You know, I didn't come any prepared expecting a certain question, so I don't.
Your expectations were so low, it's all a bonus. It's good.
Free flow. I don't like canned material and come out with like canned lines. Question to ask would be,
What does the future hold for Lazo?
Two business ventures. One of them is helping personal trainers become body transformation coaches. I really believe that we can change the world one body at a time. And a personal trainer is somebody who doesn't really know how to coach an individual through the mindset, through the right prescription nutrition, supplementation, body sculpting to get that result, and then that has a ripple effect with their friends, their family, and so forth, that individual who got the result. I don't see my clients as clients, they're my students. I'm there to educate them, so that's a big thing. But I know I can't do it on my own, so that's why I'm creating a certification program. And there's another thing I'll be launching in September. I'll let you guys know once the thing's a bit more concrete. So that's an open loop for you fellas out there.
Cool, no worries. Okay, it just sprung to mind actually. What do you think is useless, like where you just don't see the point in it? I mean, like, everyone's got different opinions, so I'm not saying this, but this is, something you just think, basically the opposite of something you think is useful to do and you do, but we talked to lots about that. But what do you think is something you personally just want to eliminate from your life, or you think that is a waste of time?
Like when I was a kid, I was big into computer games, and I swear I think that had an effect on my reading disability, because all I did was play computer games.
Yeah.
So I don't play any games whatsoever.
Same here.
I mean, you get really amazing and good at something, but there's like zero reward. And so I know my personality that I pick something, I'm neurotic. I can't be one of those guys go, yeah, I'll do like 30 minutes, play a game, switch off. Fine, that's awesome. but I can't just be in there and like 2 weeks of my life just disappeared into some. So yeah, for me, computer games is a waste of time because I'm addicted in that kind of personality type.
Who do you think we should interview next or very soon? And you can pick like a well-known, someone that you don't even know, but is like known in the world, or you can pick someone who's under the radar, or both.
You know what? I would say pick Stephen Pressfield, the guy who wrote The War of Art.
Okay.
The guy, he's figured out alpha in a very pragmatic way. So I do like his approach.
Cool. He's on the list then. I'll start hunting him. Yeah. What about someone else who maybe is under the radar that I don't know about or no one knows about or not many?
CJ Schwabi. This guy, I don't know if you know him, but he's easy to contact. He does strength training, kettlebell training, and he helps people who grieve over a loved one. Yeah, like his take on life, his perspective, he's a badass. So, but just a wonderful, wonderful human being. So I definitely would say get CJ on board.
Brilliant. Okay, and what's the best way? Because this is a fast and furious, action-packed interview for us today. But what's the best way people can connect with you, find out more?
Just go to Facebook, LazoFreeman.com, and add and like whatever you want to do and share, and I'll reply to you guys.
Brilliant. Well, we're done, mate. So I'll let you crack on, go and abuse Glenn and make him into a beast. Karen, say hi to him for me.
Thanks for everything, and I'm going to do what you told me, and I'm going to destroy Glenn. I have no guilt now.
That's good. Blame it on me. That's made my day, actually.
The Awaken Your Alpha podcast. Live limitless. Do the little guy a favor. Subscribe and review. It'll help get him off my back.
Excuse me, Mr. Swatson Snitchell, if you don't mind. Thank you for enduring my enthusiastic friend on today's show. And see you on the next episode.
Thank you, David.
Whatever.